And as usual, we are anxiously awaiting any phone call or text related to your home improvement question. 651-461-9226 for either a phone call or a text. 651-461-9226. Let's say good morning and welcome back to Andy Lindis. Andy, hi.
Hey, Denny. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. It's a fresh morning. I see the temperature has moved from 19 to 21, but things indefinitely are looking up temperature-wise. So, and we're glad you're back, and maybe you could bring us up to date before we pick up on listener questions on what's on your mind, what you've been doing lately, and what's up with Lindis Construction.
Well, you know, what haven't we been doing lately? You know, this time of year for us, it's a regearing time. We're going over what materials we offer, what installation techniques we use, just to make sure where everyone is up to par and we're able to source everything that we're going to need for the installation season, which is upon us. I think right now, Lindis is firing on all cylinders. So what that means to us is all of our crews are out and about doing work. One of the things that we've been doing an awful lot more lately is restores and repairs, whether it's your siding, windows, or roof. Sometimes the entire project doesn't have to get replaced. Maybe it's just some caulking or some one area of the roof that is leaking. A lot of times we can fix that, and we've been doing that, it seems, more in the last 16 months than at any other point in the history of Lindis Construction, whether that's a reflection on the economy and or a lot of these roofs that we're working on are under 10 years old. So I really do believe, and siding projects for that matter, I really do believe it is some workmanship problems that we've had in our area, specifically workmanship of the fly-by-night, you know, follow-the-storm type contractors. Luckily, you know, for like, you know, an average sale of under $3,500, I believe, for most of our repairs and restores right now, that we're able to get things fixed and back. So for us, when we do a repair restore, Denny, we're trying to make sure that your 40-year roofing warranty, or 50-year roofing warranty, or 30-year siding warranty, or lifetime window warranty, whatever the warranty that the manufacturer has on those products, is going to live up to the billing. And if you install things properly, my experience is that they do last that long. And that's, you know, the crux of what we're always dealing with is what can we do better to make sure that these are the most durable products for the exterior of a home on the planet? Because where we live, Denny, you know, from below zero to 103 degrees throughout the year, that's a big swing in temperatures from crazy amounts of rain to sleet to 4 feet of snow. We've got to make sure that the exterior of your homes can handle it all. And it takes some every year. There's something new and exciting that comes out on, you know, this year. Not a lot yet, but there's some shows coming up here that I'm kind of excited to see where things go.
I on that note, the variety of weather we have in these parts, you and I have talked about contractor-grade windows. That was one question I wanted to ask you. In newer construction, are you still seeing that type of quality? And in newer construction that your crews get into for attic insulation, what are they finding? Are they finding better insulation these days, or is that something that still needs to be corrected even in newer homes?
You know, a lot of it has to do with the particular builder, you know. Some of these, this is why it's really, really important that you go over all of the details with your builder, because it's not just the framing. You can't just pick this siding, this window for maybe, you know, 5 or 10% more. If this is going to be a house you're going to live in 20, 30, 40 years, and you don't want to have to replace your windows, siding, and roofing 15 years down the road, your cabinets, your countertops, the flooring, all of that stuff you can source so it does last 50 years or longer. And, you know, if it's a big development where they're building the same home over and over and over again, they use the same materials. So it's the houses that we're working on that are under 20 years old, that's usually the case. It was entry grade price point materials that just weren't designed to last as long as the house.
I'm looking at an interesting text. By the way, if you have any kind of a home improvement question, we'd love to hear from you for Andy Lindis. Call it in or text it in, 651-461-9226. Minnesota native texter says, but they live in Florida, buying a second home in Minnesota. Now, in Florida, they say, if your roof is more than 15 years old, insurers will drop you due to claims risk. Is it similar in Minnesota? The home I'm looking at has an 11-year-old roof. What have you heard and know about that situation?
I highly recommend you talking to your insurance provider to see if they will write that insurance. I think an 11-year-old roof, you're probably going to be able to find the coverage. A lot of times, it's not necessarily that they're dropping people, although plenty of people have gotten letters from their insurance carriers in Minnesota saying if you do not replace your roof, you will not be eligible for wind or hail damage on your roof. What I'm seeing is the roofs that are older than 15 years old, if you're buying a home, it's really in your best interest to talk to your insurance provider and see if they can write a policy to cover that roof without replacing it. Just think of this. You know, you say you're at the top of your budget for buying a home, but it needs $30,000 roof put on it. That can be a deal breaker. So I'd want to figure that out well in advance of closing so you can make the best decision that you possibly can. And it's hard to blame the insurance companies. Just knowing what I know is that a roof that's older than 15 years old is way more susceptible to hail and wind damage than one that's not, especially if it's not a Class 4 shingle. So, you know, it's a great question, and you're going down the right road. I think if you talk to your insurance provider, what you're going to find out is 4 years from now, you're probably going to get a letter saying that if you don't replace your roof, they're going to drop the coverage. You know, the insurance companies, they're not in the business of losing money, and they've lost a lot of money the last decade or so on these wind and hail claims. That's why you're seeing such a big change across that industry. And I feel bad. You know, I have a few friends that are in the insurance industry, and they don't like telling their customers no, that they can't do this, you know, but the underwriters have spoken, and it seems like this is the new reality. So you really need to have these conversations with your insurance provider. My advice to everyone is if you can call your insurance agent and talk to them. It's not just something you did online, sourced online. Maybe, you know, I use an independent insurance agent. The name of the company I use personally is NOAA Insurance. I call my buddy Tim up, and he goes out to 15 different insurance companies to try to find coverage on my home. And believe me, Denny, I'm in the same boat as every other homeowner. The last time hail came through Woodville, Wisconsin, where my main house is, I did not replace my roof. So they tried dropping me this year. And the reason why I didn't replace it is I want to see how long it's going to last. It's not leaking. It's a 17-year-old roof made by GAF, the Grand Canyon shingle, which at that point in time was the heaviest shingle that GAF made. And I wanted to see, and I was waiting for some of the solar options to come available. Plus, when that storm happened, I had hundreds of customers that were in way worse spots than I was. So for me to pull one of my crews to work on my house just didn't seem right. So I just, and I didn't fight my claim. You know, I'm going to, you know, do a lot of the roofing myself. So whatever the claim was, I probably could have gotten more money out of my insurance company. But I just signed a deal saying I would replace it by August 30th of this year, or I could get dropped. And I'm a guy that, I mean, I spend a lot of money with my insurance company, Danny. You know, between all of our company, we have over 120 company vehicles, for crying out loud. So I don't. It doesn't seem to matter how big your insurance bill is. We're all in the same boat, and we need to maintain our roofs and make sure that we're buying. Like if you were to buy a Class 4 shingle from me today, you won't be in this seat 15 years from now, talking to your insurance company about whether or not you're going to get coverage. That's the cool part. And that's why I think Lindis and GAF, what we've been able to do over the last few years, it's pretty cool. And you're seeing GAF really step up to the plate. As far as manufacturers go, they're manufacturing more Class 4 shingles now than they ever have. And there's plans to even add on to those lines. So I'm really hopeful that you're going to see less and less of these 10-year-old roofs have to get replaced.
Hang on, Andy, and I want to alert our listeners, our callers, Dan and Hopkins, Jim and Ellsworth. Don't go away. We're going to take a real quick break and be right back. You're going to be first up here when we return. 651-461-9226. This is the Home Improvement Show from News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Home Improvement Show presented by Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. You want to give them a shout? 844-9-LINDUS. Andy Lindus, of course, answering our questions, your home improvement questions this morning. And Andy, we promised Dan and Jim they'd be first up here. Dan, you're first up. And Hopkins, thanks for waiting, Dan. What is your question for Andy?
I'm interested in buying some insole decks. Could you tell me where to buy it? I went to the website, didn't tell me where I could buy it. And then what's the minimum amount? How much would it cost? And can I buy, what's the smallest quantity I could buy? Sorry to just drop all that on you.
Insultex, what about that?
18buildingsupply.com. You can purchase it there. Right now, I believe it's only sold in pallet quantities.
Oh, pallet quantities. Okay. I have to resite a very small portion of my house, and I thought I would throw that on there. You got to buy it in pallet.
Yeah.
Got to buy some from Lindus?
Yeah, you definitely could. If you call the office, normal business hours, and they will set you up. I believe it's like $265 for a 5-square roll, something like that.
All right, Dan. Yeah, that's 844-9-LINDUS, L-I-N-D-U-S. Yeah, give them a call Monday. And tell them you...
Boy, the front desk folk are going to appreciate me. Every time I do this on the radio, they're going to have people stopping in to buy Insultex all day now. We try to help out our fellow hammer swingers out there. And as far as house wrap goes, it's as good a house wrap as you can put on your home. And, you know, it has all the perm ratings that you need, the drainage plane that you need, and you're getting an R6 insulation. That's the cool part.
All right. Good luck with that, Dan. Let's hear from Jim, calling from Ellsworth, Wisconsin, I do believe. Jim, thanks for waiting. What is your question?
Yeah, no problem. I had a question in regards to attic ventilation. We have an older house. It was built in 1925. We remodeled in the early 2000s, and when we did, we had the entire house foamed, but with polyisoprene rather than urethane. And our understanding was the R value was less than with isoprene than it was with urethane. So when they did our roof, they had to actually hot roof it. So there was no proper, we had a ridge vent on the top of our roof, but we had no duct ventilation coming up through our rafters. So we were not terribly surprised, but still disappointed when the next spring come after a cold spell, we would have water issues showing up in our walls, leaking out of our walls, exterior walls. So we kind of realized, you know, you would poke our head up there during the colder parts of the winter, you could see the frost. Okay, well, then fast forward about to like 2 years ago, we had to replace our roof. So we thought, well, let's get this taken care of now. And actually, we hired Lindus to do this part of it. They tore out all the old polyisoprene, refoamed it with polyurethane, and had the ducts put in the rafters. So we thought, well, it's was a pretty huge step, but we thought, okay, now we took care of that problem. Now, we still continue to have that problem the last two winters now. We've had, you know, after a cold spell, you'll poke your head up there, you can see the frost building up, and as soon as it comes up to about 20 degrees, you'll see the water starting to come back out again. I was just wondering, what would be the traditional next step that we need to do to resolve this problem?
I want to know where the warm air is coming from. That would be where I would try to wrap my head around, see where the warm air is coming from that's causing the frost. I'm assuming that the leaking is from the frost melting, not from a leak in the roof?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, the roof, I'm sure, is quite fine. No reason to believe the roof is leaking. When I do poke my head up there, I can see frost. I was hoping, to see a heavy frost in one part of the attic, but not in others. And it just seemed to be, you know, and I took some pictures and sent them in, but, you know, it was just kind of general light frost over the entire, you know, over the entire area.
I'm assuming you've been talking with Dusty?
Well, Kim McKeague was a guy I had dealt with individually, and then I forget who the insulation guy was. I mean, Dusty does not ring a bell, but the same insulation guy came out once, and then he came out the following year to try and look at it, and he had crawled in there, and he thought he had found the spot, but he had, you know, really no way to test it until you have the next winter, and so that was in the spring when he come in and found a spot to repair. Then he, you know, so then we waited till this past winter, and so the problem's still here.
Yeah, I what I wonder is sometimes the styrofoam, when you're doing the reinstall of it, if it shrinks or doesn't adhere to the wood or the decking well, it can create voids, and sometimes that can create hot spots. And that's where I would take a look at it. Why don't you make sure that if you text the show your contact information, or just send me an email, andy@lindisco.com. I'll see to make sure that the proper people, I think I have some tools that we can use to try to diagnose where that warm air is coming from or why that is getting caused there. If the proper ventilation is happening, it shouldn't be causing frost. Pretty rare that when it's not just pretty rare. If done the way everything is working the way it should, there should be no frost anywhere in your attic. I just worry that if there's a bath fan leaking or a range hood leaking, or there's a void somewhere that's just hard to see with the naked eye. You know, we don't have crazy cold temperatures, but cold enough that the infrared imaging and the cameras that we use should be able to help us figure out what the heck is going on.
All right. Good luck with that. On that note, we're going to take a break for weather. Pete, you're going to be next up on the phone. Don't go away. And if you want to call in or text in your home improvement question, 651-461-9226. The weather's straight ahead here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our home improvement show presented every week by Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. You want to give them a shout? Come Monday, 844-9-LINDUS. Andy Lindus answering your questions this morning. Any kind of home improvement question, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Andy, speaking of phones, Pete has been hanging on from Tomahawk, Wisconsin, I believe. Pete, thank you for doing that. What's your question for Andy?
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. This very much segues from the last caller that you had. I have a home that was built around the turn of the century, as in this century. Metal roof, and the second floor in this particular area is vaulted ceilings. So I don't have an attic, and I've got two valleys where I'm getting pretty bad ice dams, very bad ice dams. And I just wanted to see what options were available. I have looked into the heat mats that you put over the soffit in between the roofing and the sheeting, but I feel like that's putting a Band-Aid on the problem. And I've also heard that you can remove the roof, put in 2 inches of insulation, and then put the roof back on. But I'm looking to see if those are the only options or if there are any other ideas.
You know, dense packing that entire area with some type of loose fill insulation is always an option. I think the spray foam option, completely spray, you know, filling that void full with spray foam is going to be another option. There's some venting that sometimes you can do on those roofs. Heat tape is an option, but like you said, it is a Band-Aid to the in these vaulted ceilings or great rooms or whatever you want to tell them, that you end up installing what we call a hot roof, which is a insulated roof with no ventilation. So what you do is you try to put the best and the most amount of insulation you possibly can to stop the heat transfer and the snow from melting. Now, in my experience, in those types of situations, we'll be able to assess this when we're out there, but a metal roof with 2 inches of foam over the top of the roof deck have been our best way. And why this gets rid of the ice dams is it sheds the snow before it has a chance to melt. Yes, the foam does a good job of trying to keep the heat in longer, but with the metal roofing, it sheds that snow before it gets to ice dams. And of course, you're going to want to, you know, make sure that those valleys are protected with ice and water, a little bit above code, not just one sheet of ice and water down the middle of the valley. I would put three sheets. So it's almost 9 feet wide of ice and water shield that in the valley areas when we install roofs in that have these types of issues.
All right, very good. Appreciate the call. Looking at a bunch of text messages, Andy, here's one. Texter says, I'd like to learn more about the process Lindus uses for deck footings by drilling a screw below the frost line and not setting them in concrete. Why don't you give us a little bit of idea what that texter is talking about?
Well, it's essentially what it is. It's a giant screw. It's a helical pier is the technical term. And we have a machine specifically set up. What's nice about this is no digging. It goes in quick, and it is as stable as any footing or pier that you can put in your home. So it's just we can set them exactly where we need them, map everything out, goes in quick, and most importantly, you never have to worry about frost heaves, which sometimes can be an issue if you're just setting the post on a concrete disc. Or even if you're belling it out and setting it in actual concrete, this is a much more stable pier, even more than like what we used before, the diamond piers, which is basically we still use diamond piers on occasion, but it's a diamond-shaped piece of concrete that we use a jackhammer to put in 5 bars 6 feet down. So it's a lot of earth that has to move. Again, a real stable pier. It's a lot less invasive, way easier to use these helical piers, and goes wonderfully with our metal framing. So again, it's one of those things when you're looking at trying to make things last 30, 40, 50 years, it's the little things that allow that to happen. You're not worrying about frost heaves, you're not worrying about your footings, you're not worrying about anything rotten because all that's in the ground is metal. And that's a nice feature. Again, we're putting on decks. You couple this with our metal framing and the millboard deck, it should be a lifetime deck. No one should have to worry about this deck forever. And that's what we're always trying to accomplish. But we've replaced lots of footings with these helical piers, and I don't see that going away anytime soon.
All right, solid. Texter says this, Andy, we took your advice, scraped the popcorn off our living room vaulted ceiling. Can you please explain the concerns, if any, about smooth primed MDF, and does it still contain creosote?
Not sure about the creosote, but for me, the concern is going to be what flaws on my ceiling are showing. So, you know, maybe when you prime it, you're going to be able to see, can you get away with a smooth ceiling, or are you going to have to do some other type of texture on the ceiling, or are you going to be spending a lot of time mudding and sanding to be able to get rid of all of the flaws in your ceiling? Because if you're anything like me, you probably ran that scraper a little heavy in some areas and might have gouged a thing or two, and where a textured ceiling is going to hide that, a smooth ceiling won't. I don't know about the creosote in whatever product they are. I'd have to look that up.
Okay. And I was just thinking about the question about the popcorn ceilings, and in your experience, haven't you said, I'm not going to try to fix the sheetrock. I'm going to put up some wood. Explain that. How did you do that?
You know, I've used a few different products. I got this product, I forget where they're out of, somewhere in southern Wisconsin, like Pepin area, and it's called Forever Barnwood. I really, really like this product. It hides a lot of flaws. It comes in a variety of colors. When you're cutting it, it smells wonderful, which is just one of the byproducts of working with wood. You know, with anybody in my line of work, you know what, Denny, the other day I was working on my own home,
Yeah.
And I have an old four square farmhouse, and the framing is actually the dimensions are an actual 2 inches by 4 inches. And believe it or not, and until I cut into the one, I didn't realize that it's oak framing in this house.
Wow.
And that's, you know, this house was built in the, like, 1908, I want to say.
Wow.
I know the original abstract I have for it, it does talk, like, it references a wagon trail of sorts. And, you know, this house goes a long ways back. My family's been remodeled a couple of times. But I just really like where, I just think that what you can hide with flaws on with trim, with the wood products that Forever Barnwood has and your ceiling. And it comes in whether you want to rip it down and make it all tight like shiplap, or you want to get that tongue and groove look. You have some different options. It's got two different finishes on either side. So what I did with mine, like on the one side, they have saw marks. On the other side, it's made to look like old barnwood. So yeah. I would flip them every now and then to try to throw on a board with the that I thought had really cool features and saw blade marks on the ceiling. So I've had a lot of fun doing that. And the nice thing about that is it's one of those projects that most do-it-yourselfers with very little amount of purchasing and tools. I mean, you don't even need to buy a nail gun if you don't want to. You could screw these on if you with a screw gun and just a regular circular saw. You probably have enough tools to get the job done, and that's the cool part.
That's neat.
And for me, I'm way better at installing wood than I am painting. When I paint, there's paint everywhere, and I don't know about you. I know brushes aren't one-time use, but I've never taken care of a paintbrush good enough to be able to use it the next day. I don't care what I do. It seems like I screwed up.
Well, I'm glad you admitted that, because I think some of us can really relate to that admission. I'm looking at a bunch of text messages. Let's see if we can grab one before a quick break. This comes from Cliff in Mason City, Iowa. Question for Andy. I have a sheetrock finished garage, insulated, was built in 1979, no heat but insulated. Ceiling has popcorn finish, has started to absorb humidity and moisture. Any suggestions for fixes? Looking at a truss core, beadboard, or steel liner? Kind of related to the last question.
You know, in a lot of garages, Denny, we've used our seamless vertical steel siding to put on the ceilings because of moisture issues. But regardless of what you put on the ceiling there, I'd highly recommend running a dehumidification system in your garage. You know, I learned that the hard way, and I installed a bunch of this barnwood in my man cave shed area, and I put it all on really tight. And I was trying on the one wall to try to get away with not having to put a piece of trim up, but I ended up having to. Well, I put it on so tight and didn't turn my dehumidification system on. I did this throughout most of the winter, and it sounded like a gun going off. The way this wood was exploding off the wall when it swelled up, and I just got done washing a tractor off in my shed, and so like it was all my own doing. But ever since I ran the dehumidification system, I reinstalled that part of the wall / ceiling, where I have barnwood that goes into metal, so I had to reinstall some of that. But ever since I started running that dehumidification system, I have that Santa Fe model. Not cheap. It was like $1,800. But I keep it at 45% in there and never have to worry about it.
How about that? On that note, Andy, let's take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in. 651-461-9226. We'll pick up on more text questions when we come back here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show. Presented by Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. You want to get in touch if you have a project in mind. Call them this coming week, 844-9-LINDUS. Andy Lindus answering those questions. Andy, we've got a bunch. Let's see how many folks we can help out before you take your leave today. Here's one. It says, LP offers two sidings, Smart Side and Diamond Coat. Which one does Lindus recommend?
Well, it's not an offering from LP Diamond Coat. It's just it's another pre-finisher, Wausau Supply, who's one of the largest home improvement suppliers in the upper Midwest. They have had this Diamond Coat finish for quite some time, and they put it on a variety of different products. It's a really good finish, has a really good warranty. It's a little shinier than the LP Expert finish, but I would say from a longevity standpoint, it's a step above. It's markedly more expensive than LP Expert finish. But take that in mind. It's available in different colors than what the LP Expert finish is. You know, for us, we are able to show people both options, and it really is a 50-50 mix. But I shouldn't say that. More people are choosing the LP Expert finish the last year or so due to some price increases with Diamond Coat than they are choosing Diamond Coat. And I've had good luck with both finishes. I believe it or not, I have both finishes on my house. So I can take a look at it. Not on the same house. One's on the garage, one's on the house. But it just, again, one of those things that we always test things ourselves. But those are the two best pre-finishes that you can get on LP SmartSide, whether it's the Expert finish, which is painted directly by LP, or they send prime boards to Wausau Supply, the Diamond Coat folks, and put the Diamond Coat on.
Uh-huh. All right. We'll keep that in mind. Another text says this, Andy. We have an existing footing on a deck, just one of five that heaves. To fix that, does the existing footing have to be totally removed to solve the problem?
Usually, yes, but that's it's easier done than most people think. So won't be the first time we've gone out and just replaced footings and or bracing, but a lot of times that entire post may need to be changed out, which with some bracing and some false posts put in while we do that work, it's a very doable project. I wish you could just dig it down and wait for the frost to go away, but it's never seems to go back. Once it heaves, it never seems to go back to where it's supposed to be. And my worry is it's going to weaken that area. And it can, you know, if you have composite decking, it can lead to cracking and things of that nature.
I know once in a while we talk about duct cleaning. I'm looking at a texter who said, when and how often should we clean air ducts? And they also have a question is how to prevent bats from getting in your house. Have you had that experience? Well, what about the duct cleaning, first of all?
The duct cleaning, you know, it's really going to depend everybody's on how dirty the air is that's going into your furnace. You know, you live out in the country with a lot of dirt roads, then you're going to have some, you know, maybe a little bit more dust and dirt in the air than somebody that doesn't. And so I would, you know, every time that you change a filter, if it's looking dirtier and dirtier, I would consider getting it done. If it really is bothering you, maybe annually. Me, personally, Denny, I've been in my house. It's a house I grew up in. But I think my wife and I have lived there going on 15, 16 years. When I remodeled the kitchen, because there was so much, you know, dust and grime as we remodeled that area, I had all the ducts cleaned, and I haven't done it since. So
did it make a difference, you think?
It did make a difference, you know. I did find some old, like, Dukes of Hazzard Matchbox cars from when I was a kid. down in there, and old G.I. Joe that made it down there, and some old pictures that like my mom and dad's wedding picture with their, you know, like you get at a wedding that tells you like what's going to happen, like the little brochure that was the ductwork. So we found some cool stuff as we went through it, but that'll happen when you got an old balloon frame four square like I have.
It was like a time machine, like a cornerstone open up.
Well, little Linda's family time capsule. There
time capsule, yeah. That's what I was looking for. All right, now what about preventing bats from getting in a home?
You know, that's a really good question, because those critters can get into a really, really small area. Now, your soften areas seem to be the biggest area that they get into. You just want to make sure all your venting and the soffits are installed the proper way. Now, I don't know of any real devices. There's some supersonic things you can plug in, but other pets, I think, are annoyed by that as well. I know the bats don't like it. I'm probably the last guy to ask. It seems like any time I leave for a work trip, or I'm going to be gone from my house for 3 or 4 days, someone leaves a door open and a bat is in the house. It seems like I'm never home when this happens. I'm just,
of course,
getting the FaceTime from my wife and the dogs chasing the bat around the house. But, you know, for me, I live out in the country, so the bats put the hurt locker on mosquitoes, and I'm okay with that. But I ran into some attics, Denny, that it's a layer of bat droppings over the top of the insulation. And I've seen some roofs get torn off where hundreds of bats come out. And if that's the case, an exterminator is probably in your future and to get rid of them. But again, they're nice little bug eaters, so you gotta be careful. But my experience is, if you have a really tight roof and your soffits areas are installed the way they should be, it should be pretty minimal. Now, a couple years ago, there was a storm near like the Crystal Cave area. There's been a lot of schools go to that area for Crystal Cave for, you know, like elementary trips. I don't know what it is about this area. I'm guessing it has to do with all the caves, but it seems like every house that we dealt with in that area had some bat issues going on. So it might be just if you live near where a lot of bats are, sometimes it can be a real tough road to hoe to get rid of them. But just tightening up your soffit areas, your vent areas, your intake and your exhaust and your roof, that can go a long ways. And just like with other rodents, you know, a little bit of peppermint oil up in your attic space goes a long ways. And or that mouse magic stuff that we've talked about on the radio before, little peppermint pillows. Yeah. You can buy those at any hardware store. And you just open up your attic space, toss them into all four corners, and it's overpowering to the rodents. And I got to think that'll help with the bat situation as well.
Andy, we are plumb out of time. Let's join forces next week. What do you say?
Sounds great, Danny. You have a great day.
You too. Have a good week. Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. Yeah, give him a call. If you have a project in mind, call him this coming week, 8449-LINDIS.